Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Carolus, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zaman. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, by God's grace and only by His grace, my brother.
Oh, yes, and only by His grace. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for joining us once again this afternoon. Now, there's a thin line, you know, between confidence and arrogance, and the two are often confused for one or another. Now, today we're going to be drawing the clear distinction between the two so that we can actually be able to tell them apart. And so you're going to be helping us doing that. So what is the difference, Pastor, between healthy self-love, which is confidence, and unhealthy self-love, or the love of self, which is arrogance?
Okay, so before we get to confidence and arrogance, there's something that I just need to get off my chest. If you indulge me,
that's all right. That's
or
all right.
Allow myself to just get it off.
That's
first.
Okay.
You know, before AWR, before the radio station contacted me about this topic, I had already looked into these things. how the world. Worldly psychology, modern psychology has influenced even Christian thinking.
Mm.
And I must be honest, I do not actually, you know, after studying scripture and what it has to offer on this topic, I find myself not wanting to even use the term self-love. And I'll share with you why I say that.
Mm.
In Leviticus 19 verse 18, Moses writes, "You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Then. So Jesus quotes this verse. We looked at that yesterday. James also quotes this verse, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And also Paul, in the book of Romans, quotes the verse as well. And so yesterday we spoke of loving our neighbors, and that we can only truly love others best when we love God most, for love is of God. So the command is to love God and love your neighbor. Now, the last part of the verse speaks about the love one has for oneself. And for many years, this verse has been used to advocate love for oneself. But a careful look at the construction of the sentence tells us otherwise. The part that says, as yourself, is not a command to love yourself, but rather, this part of the verse is based on an assumption. And what is that assumption? Naturally, humanly speaking, we do love ourselves. Every single one of us, we love ourselves. I love you, Mukarolis. And the assumption is that we are born loving ourselves. It is not something that we still need to be taught or commanded to do. We do it naturally. Every listener and every host and every presenter on this radio station naturally loves him or herself. So what does this mean? What is this love that we're talking about here? Each one of us has the desire to be happy. And in order to reach that happiness, we will naturally do whatever it takes to be happy. And so for a very long time, the pursuit of happiness, I'm sure you've heard of that phrase before, we have been taught that the pursuit of happiness starts by loving yourself, because if you can truly learn to love yourself, then and only you'll be able to truly love others. But this is not what Moses and Jesus and James and Paul are teaching. No, not at all. What they are teaching is that the natural human heart loves itself and seeks its own pleasure. And the Bible writers use this universal fact merely to show how we should love others. And this thought is galvanized in Ephesians 5, verse 28 to 29, which is, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And then Paul makes this statement, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it." Do you hear that, Zomba? No one ever hated his own flesh. So everyone loves himself to the point that he will take care of himself. And whatever the need is, we naturally seek to fulfill it. And the Bible is saying that when the command comes to love others, the best knowing us, God knowing us, the best way he can tell us how to love our neighbors is by saying that in the same way that you naturally seek happiness and pleasure for yourself, that is the way in which you should be seeking to do for others. And that is the golden rule, isn't it?
Yep,
whatever you would like others to do,
do it.
And to do to and for you, do that for and to them. So again, I just want to emphasize that there is no biblical command to love yourself. In fact, I can find very explicit verses that implicitly tell us that the Christian's objective is actually not to love one's own self.
Mm.
And, you know, when we think of what will happen in the last days, Paul writes to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 1 he says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, bad times shall come, terrible times shall come." And what's the first characteristic? What's the first sign of these perilous times? He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." This is not a good thing. Paul is not saying that to be a lover of your own self is a good thing. Paul is saying that this is evidence that we are living in perilous times. And as a basis for these perilous things, he puts right up in front, primarily, the perilous times come because people are lovers of their own selves. And what follows that is they are covetous. Why? Because they love their own selves. They are boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. So children who love their own selves leads to them being disobedient to parents. And this is the next word there in that verse is unthankful. Unthankful. And I think that's what it boils down to. Unthankful, thinking that we've got nothing to be grateful for, thinking that everything that we love ourselves to the point that I am who I am because of me. You know? And it leads to quite a few other things as well. In Revelation 12 verse 11, speaking about God's people in the end time, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And listen to this. "They loved not their lives unto the death." In other words, when it came to standing up for God, they loved God so much that they did not even consider themselves when they had to die for this God that they loved so much. In Acts 20 verse 24, we read Paul saying, "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my cause and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And then listen to this one. This is Jesus speaking in John 12, verse 25. "Whoever loves his life loses it."
Yeah.
And I know we're also talking about self-hate. Listen to what Jesus says further than that. So he says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." In another place, Jesus uses a few different words. He says, whoever wants to keep his life, in other words, the same thing, love his life, he will lose it, but whoever loses it will find it. So, just coming back to the term self-love, I do think that this term comes from modern psychology and modern worldviews rather than from a biblical point of view. I don't know if I'm answering your question, Zama.
You are in a way.
So when it comes to confidence and arrogance, I see you've qualified what you mean by self-love. And that's a good thing. And you've even qualified it further by saying that there's a healthy self-love and there's also an unhealthy one. And again, when it comes to confidence in oneself, of course, God wants us to be confident Christians. When we speak, we must speak boldly and know who we are. But all of that is, I think what we need to be seeking for is not self-confidence, but God confidence. And the anecdote or the elixir, the solution to not being arrogant is to have confidence, not in oneself, but to have confidence in God. You know, when I think of this, I think of young David going to face Goliath. And he says, you come to me with your sword and your spear and your shield. But he does not come in his own name. David's confidence is not in himself. David says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. So David's confidence was not in his own self. And also it wasn't in anything worldly, because King Saul wanted to give him his armor to go and fight Goliath. And he says, I can't fight things. I can't put my confidence in these man-made things. I'm putting my confidence in God. And by doing so, David was able to conquer Goliath.
I've got a question that is coming on the line, Pastor. It says, greetings. Isn't the pastor contradicting himself? And it continues and says, loving oneself is the basis of loving one's neighbor. Maybe the pastor believes self-love means something entirely different. That's the question from the listener.
Well, I'm speaking purely from the Bible. The Bible is very clear. And there is, you know, even when we speak about, let me answer it in this way. Whenever we as Christians or Bible-believing Christians, when we use the word self, we also have to be very clear on what self we are talking about. Because the Bible speaks of two, the old self and the new self.
Okay.
Right? So when we speak about the old self is the self we are born with. That self naturally loves itself. It loves, and the way it looks at itself when we are, when our sinful natures or sinful selves, the way it looks at itself is a very deceptive, In fact, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, when the Bible tells us that, it's something that we don't really like. And by the way, the Bible, I don't know of any message of any biblical message that God has ever given that has been a popular one. In fact, it's very unpopular. Jesus himself was very unpopular when he spoke about these things. I mean, to tell people, just think of the Jewish nation, to tell proud people that in order for you to save your life, you need to lose it. That's a problem. The rich young ruler had a problem with this. In order to inherit eternal life, he was asked to go and sell everything he had. But because he was covetous, because he loved what he had, the Bible says he left there sorrowfully because he had many possessions. So for Christ to come and teach these things was mind-blowing to the point that they hated him. They even wanted to kill him. So the message of the Bible is to hate one's old self.
Yeah.
In fact, when Paul speaks about where we come from, he says that even God hated in the sense that the old self is at enmity with God.
Mm-hmm.
It does not love the things of God. It hates the things of God. So that is, as a born-again Christian, when we look at the old self, that is a self that we need to definitely hate. That it should abhor us. In fact, Paul, in Ephesians 2, verse 12, says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, remember where God has taken you from. Hate that self so much that you don't want to go back to it. And you know, I even hesitate to say that we must love the new self, because this leads, and I think this is the dilemma you have with the Christians that you also asking, is because when does self-love, even of the new self, when does that become arrogance? That's the question that I hear coming through as well. So I, regarding the listener, thank you very much for the question. But from the Bible itself, the Bible says, and we dealt with this yesterday, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that the only way we can love others is when we realize God's love for us.
Okay.
We love, and you know, the King James Version says that we love him because he first loved us. The English Standard Version and some other versions leave the word him out and just says, we love because he first loved us. So all love that goes from us is, as if it's true love, it is the basis for that true love, the source for that true love is what Christ is for us on Calvary. When we look at what and behold what he's done for us, then we are able to love because we have experienced his love and not the love we have for ourselves. The Bible is very clear, and I mean the verses that we read, and you know what, Zama, if there is a verse that I may have missed where it says you must love yourself, then I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. But I don't find, in my own research, I have not found a verse that says you need to love yourself, that there's a command to love yourself. The assumption is that naturally we do love ourselves.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And as you were speaking in concluding your response, listener, Mr. Standwa, says, actually a follow-up question, but now it's confusing. He says, which self was Christ referring to then? Because now we have to hate self? Or does he mean... does he mean we must hate ourselves and neighbors, therefore?
No. The key, the biblical key is that in order, you see, we've been taught that in order to love others, we must first love ourselves. Now, that there is a worldview, a worldview that is not a biblical one. But naturally, we already love ourselves. You don't need to be taught to love yourself. You know, and I'll take this a bit further. Even one who contemplates suicide is probably one of the highest forms of self-love. And the reason for that is, the reason why I say that, and not only suicide, but even anything else people do to themselves, like, you know, cutting, for instance. You've heard of cutting?
Yeah,
people are addicted to cutting themselves. The reason they do it is because they want to, it makes them feel better about themselves. And you can ask anyone who God has brought out of that situation. It is a place they go to so that they can feel better. Alcohol, drugs, any kind of addiction is a place you go to so that you can feel better about yourself. And that's because you naturally love yourself. You know, and even when it comes to suicide, someone who contemplates suicide believes that the only way to get rid of some emotional pain or baggage that they're carrying is to just end it all. And so this is why God says that the heart is so deceitful, because and it's desperately wicked. Now we may say, but I'm not desperately wicked. Well, that is exactly how deceitful the heart is. And when we come to terms with our natural human sinful, selfish natures, the old self, when we realize how bad that is for us, it is something Paul says we should remember, because it should bring us to humility to know that where we were, we never want to go back there again. So to guard us against Christian arrogance, I would say, Paul says, remember where you've come from. You remember that old self that at a point you hated so much that you don't want to go back there? Remember that. It makes us humble. It makes us believe that where we are is the best. That is the new self, the new Christian. And even then, I said earlier, I still hesitate to say that we should love ourselves. You know, Zamal, and I think our time is going, but I want to say this before we leave today's segment.
Okay.
It is all about seeking happiness. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us what it means to be truly happy. He starts out by saying, happy is he, or blessed is he, the poor in spirit, the humble person, the one who has surrendered all. That's where true happiness starts. And Jesus is saying this is where fulfillment comes from. And when you look at the rest of the Beatitudes, it all then has to do with being merciful, being pure in heart, things that pertain to how we interact with each other, being peacemakers, and so on. And even at the end, how we relate to our enemies, you know, bless them that curse you and persecute you for Christ's sake.
Mm.
Because those Beatitudes, that's where true happiness comes from. And it starts with humility. Again, having the mind of Christ. And what's the mind of Christ? We keep coming back to Philippians 2. It is placing the interests and the happiness of others before your own. That's where the fulfillment for the Christian comes from. The fulfillment of life is to give God glory, is to love Him most. And when we love Him most, we will love others best.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. In fact, we completely are out of our time. But before I let you go, you've said quite a bit, but I want to talk about self-confidence, the low self-confidence, which may be a danger to one being unable to naturally love themselves or something like that. What are the dangers of low self-confidence?
Well, and again, the word self comes in there. So we're speaking now of the Christian who has put on the new self. And I'm actually checking that with you first, Zama. You're speaking to the one who is born again, who has, because if it's someone who's not born again, then the answer would be Jesus answer then is to be born again and to become a new creation in Him. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So who we are speaking to and how you are receiving what we are saying depends on where you are. Are you born again or are you still living in sin, which is the old self still alive? If it is, that is the self to hate. If it's not, that's the if it's the new, that's the one to appreciate. And where we get our worth from is not from inside. You know, today we are told to look deep inside to get our worth. Well, the only thing I know of, and maybe this is a good place to end, is how do we know something? The worth of something or someone is how much someone else is willing to pay for it. And the gospel is all about Christ paying the ransom for us. And how much does God think we are worth? Well, we are worth the life of his own son. I don't think that anything can compare to the life of Jesus Christ, the blood that He shed for us. That's how valuable we are. And Christ does not see us, He does not judge us on what we are initially, but what we can become. And that's the self that we need to have appreciation for, gratitude for. What Christ has done for me, everything the Christian, the born-again person, the one who has put on the new self, everything has to do with in the relation to what Christ has done for us. And that is where we get self-worth. That is where we get our esteem from. Not from looking inside, but from looking to Jesus on the cross. He says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all to me. And that is, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can now be called children of our Heavenly Father.
Mm.
You know, that is we should see ourselves in relation to what Christ has done and not in relation to our works. This is the gospel, Zama.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor Carolus, our master, thank you so much for coming through. It's been a fantastic one, and we are going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Indeed, this is the gospel. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.